Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome back onto another edition of the Kona Edge midweek here on the Kona Edge as we head towards Christmas. If you are celebrating, I hope you are getting some time off with your friends and family and getting to relax a little bit as we head towards Christmas this year. We're digging back into our archives once again today here on the podcast, and I get to share a story that I shared probably more than 2 years ago here on the podcast, and it's one that really left an impression on me because this guy is an absolute machine. He's not, and I'm sure you won't mind me saying this, is not a spring chicken anymore, but man alive, is he a monster when it comes to swim, bike, run. I'm talking about Dan Stubleski, and if you're in the US, that name will ring bells, I'm sure. I'm sure it pops up in a couple of nightmares as well for anyone in Dan's age group. But yeah, a very cool story which I thought I would share with you today as well. And also, just a quick reminder once again, if you haven't entered to win that Ironman entry, the URL to get to is thekonaedge.com/win. That's where you can get your name into the draw right now. thekonaedge.com/win. The link is in the show notes to this episode of The Kona Edge on your podcast player, so you can click through straight. It'll take you literally 10 seconds to get into the draw. We'll be doing that early in January. Entries close at the end of this month. That's thekonaedge.com/win. Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by Coach Parry Triathlon Coaching. With a passion for high-performance sport, Lindsay Parry is one of South Africa's most widely recognized and respected coaches. Having led a team to the London and Rio Olympic Games, Lindsay has coached both triathletes and runners onto podiums of some of the world's most illustrious races. Lindsay has the unique ability to understand what it takes to succeed at any level and thrives on coaching, motivating and inspiring others to do the same. To find out more about working with Coach Parry, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. And don't forget, if you're a coach or if you have a coaching business and you'd like to get a plug on the podcast, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. Dan, welcome. Nice to touch base. It's a bit of a snowy afternoon in Michigan. Thanks for taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, no problem. Great to talk to you.
I was just saying, I've got massive respect for you. I mean, obviously, you've achieved some great things, and we'll chat about that in a moment. But geez, working and training through a Michigan winter, you deserve a medal just for that.
Yeah, it is pretty tough. I'm always jealous of everybody else taking pictures in the winter time here, and they're riding outdoors. So that's pretty jealous of that.
I'm sure. 2015 has been an incredible year for you. 2014 wasn't half bad either. We are a few weeks post Kona 2015. How's the body holding up after that effort?
A lot better than it was a couple weeks ago. I'm starting to get back into things and get going again.
Dan, let's take a step back, and we'll get to your performances in Kona in a moment. But where did your journey to triathlon start? Where did it all begin for you?
2011 in Maui, Hawaii. I did a Olympic distance. That was my first.
What sort of background did you come from? Were you pretty active growing up?
Yeah, I mean, I did like the local sports, basketball, baseball, and football in high school. And then in college, I went to junior college, a community college, and I played basketball for 2 years there.
And the swim, bike, and run, I mean, where did that sort of, I mean, you did the Olympic in Maui, but where did you think, you know what, this looks like a pretty cool sport, maybe I should give it a bash?
Yeah, I know, I started riding my bike, and and I was always running a little bit here and there, but never got into triathlon. And then we were going to Hawaii 2011, and I was like, oh, maybe I can find a bike race or something, to do. And then I stumble upon a triathlon, and I'm like, hey, I'll give that a try. So that was my first one right there on vacation.
I'm having a quiet laugh to myself because I'm doing the math in my head, and that's 4 years ago. If I had said to you in 2011 at that Olympic triathlon or Olympic distance triathlon in Maui that you would have achieved what you would have achieved now, 4 years later in the sport, what would you have told me?
No way, because even if it was it was 6 mile run, you know, for the Olympic distance. It was, that was hard. It was, a lot harder than, you know, it's like now thinking like a 26 mile run is like, was equivalent to that 6 mile run at that time. It was like super hard. It's like, I never thought I would be able to run that fast and that far.
I love that. And as far as the other sports that you played, baseball, basketball, and that sort of thing, were you any good at those?
Yeah, I was pretty good. Basketball was my best sport. That's where it took me the farthest. And I always seemed to have the endurance, like, cause we'd always play pickup games, like in the summertime and everything like that. And everybody wanted to quit. And I still wasn't tired. So I wanted to keep going longer and playing longer. So maybe that was my endurance, that I could go a lot longer than everybody else.
Love it. Well, 2015 and 2014 as well, actually, you were the fastest age grouper, on the Big Islands at the World Championships, in Kona, Hawaii. When did you realize that you were pretty good at this triathlon thing?
2012, I went to Vegas, the World Championships there, and that was my first World Championships, and, so then I was just like, oh, maybe I can just get in top 20 in my age group. And, you know, I had no expectations of doing good or whatever. So, you know, so I did the race and I finally finished. And then I find out that I was the first age grouper overall in Las Vegas. And I was like, are you kidding me? That's crazy. I never thought I would be able to, pull that off, you know? So that's where it kind of started, where I had something, you know?
Dan, I find that amazing that you're the fastest age group at those 70.3 world champs in Vegas, and it wasn't even something you were aiming at. I mean, you just gifted with unbelievable talent and ability, and obviously, I mean, you must have worked hard to get that, but was that ever a goal? You're saying top 20. Realistically, did you think you had a shot of not just winning your age group, but being the first age grouper home?
No, I didn't think I'd be able to, you know, I just wanted to go there and compete and have the best race possible of, you know, I just had no expectations of being the first age grouper overall. I just hung in there and just kept going. And I think that's my competitive drive, that I'm really super competitive and I just don't like to lose or whatever. So I just keep pushing myself until I get to that finish line.
Did you have siblings growing up? Have you got brothers and sisters?
Yep, I have two older brothers and a younger sister. So I think that started when I was real early, because my brothers are, you know, a little bit older than me, you know, 3 or 4 years older than me. So I always hang out with them and play basketball with them. I always played against older people, so. And they were always better than me, so, you know, I always was striving to beat them all the time.
Do you think that way that's where the competitive spirit in you came from, and was sort of the seed was planted early on?
I think so, yeah, because they would always destroy me in basketball. You know, I could never, when I was younger, you know, never beat them. And then, you know, as I started to get older, then I would start to pass them. But yeah, I think that's where it started.
Are they pretty competitive? I mean, they look at what you achieved in Ironman. Do they think, oh, you know what? He's a little brother. I'm sure we could beat him.
No, they think I'm crazy for doing the triathlons. I'm like, I always say like, oh, I went for a 100-mile ride, and they're like, you're crazy. I didn't even drive 100 miles today.
That's fantastic. Dan, tell me a little bit about the first time you thought of possibly entering a full distance Ironman. The thought process. What did you know about the race? What had you heard about the race before entering, when that sort of seed was planted and the thought process started about entering?
It was always early, because that's the, like, Hawaii, the one in Kona, was always on TV, and I was like, oh, I want to do that someday, but I never entered my mind how to do it or whatever. So then after 2012, I think that's when I really wanted to do one. Actually, I really wanted to do it that year, but, you know, I didn't qualify or whatever. So, then it came into my mind, like, that was September. So then I started planning for one in, Texas in 2013 was my first.
Tell me a little bit about that race the first one you've done. I mean, everyone's first Ironman's one they'll never ever forget, and the build up to it. But tell me about that race and your experience first time out.
Yeah, I was pretty nervous. The swim was kind of scary, but I knew I could just stay focused and just keep swimming, and I could do the distance. Then the bike ride after that was kind of like up in the air. I don't think I ever rode 112. I think the most was 100 mile before my first. So I knew I was pretty confident that I could do it, just didn't know how fast I was going to do it. And then the run, you know, was pretty scary because, you know, I never ran a full marathon after all that, you know, and never ran a marathon to begin with. So that was kind of up in the air. Just had to just keep going.
And from a results perspective, that first Ironman in Texas, how did you go?
I think I was first in my age group. I think I was like fourth or fifth overall for age groupers.
And going into that race, I mean, you obviously it's difficult going into your first Ironman. You never really have any big expectations, but what were you hoping? Did you go in there, you know what, I just want to finish, or were you secretly hoping to finish top five or top 10 or whatever it was?
Top five or top four, I think we had, or four or five, slots for Kona. So that's when that was my goal to Kona qualify at that race. So I knew I was kind of gauging on my times, you know, to qualify. So I knew I had a certain amount of time to, qualify and everything. So just as long as I didn't blow up on the run, I knew I could do it. You know, that was the question.
And the feeling when you had realized that you had qualified and you had a spot at the World Champs?
That was amazing, but it really hurt. You know, the run was brutal. That was the hardest run. I did during the run, it was like, this is dumb. This hurts too much, you know. You know, the between 13 mile and the 18 mile was, I wanted to quit, but I knew I couldn't quit. I wasn't gonna quit, but it was so hard. It was brutal.
What's the thought process? We all go through those in an Ironman where we go through this dark patch and it's horrible and we want to quit. What do you tell yourself to get yourself through those dark patches?
Just to keep moving. You know, I watched, you know, the Rocky movies and, his trainer always says, no pain, no pain. So I kind of keep that mantra in my head and, you know, just kind of push it to the back and just keep, shuffling forward and keep moving.
Which is your favorite Rocky movie, Dad?
I think Rocky IV.
Rocky IV. I love it. I've got the whole series too. Huge fan. Yeah. Tell me about being on the Big Island. I mean, you had been there, you had been to Hawaii before, obviously as a visitor, you'd done your first race in Maui. But what does it feel like to step off that plane, in Kona? Knowing that you're there to test yourself against the best in the world.
Amazing. Beautiful weather. Just the heat, the humidity, and the smells. You know, I love Hawaii.
What does Kona smell like?
Just the flowers and everything. It's just, I don't know, it's hard to explain. Just the aroma of some of the flowers is just amazing.
And looking when you get off the plane and seeing all these athletes there, did you find it intimidating? They probably look at you and go, gee, look at this racing snake. But do you feel the same way?
Yeah, you know, you kind of look at everybody and see, you know, if they're, how they're fit or what they look like and this and that and like what they're, you know, what they're doing or whatever. The first one was pretty
intense, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
As far as that first one, it's difficult. It must be difficult not to get caught up in all the sideshows because there's so much going on ahead of the race itself. And if you think of all the traditions and all, I mean, the underpants run and all of that sort of stuff, is it difficult to stay focused on the race? And or did your first one, did you go there and go, you know what, I want to experience everything. I'm going to take part and really just soak up what the island has to offer.
Yeah, I did. I did a lot of, I didn't do the underpants run the first year, I don't think. I can't remember. But, yeah, I took it all in, but I always did it not using up a lot of energy. You know, I stayed relaxed. I stayed off my feet a lot, but I wanted to be in the environment, you know, just to be part of it. You know, I didn't want to miss a lot, you know, cause if you're, that just brings excitement to me. So that, you know, gets me pumped up and gets me ready to, go, you know, it doesn't get me overexcited or anything, you know.
As far as getting to the island ahead of the race, how much time do you like to spend in Kona before race day?
We usually get there 10 days before. So I think it's like a Thursday. Yeah, it's like a Thursday afternoon we finally get into Kona.
And from an acclimatization point of view, obviously, I mean, when we started this chat, I said that it's snowing as we speak in Michigan. You guys have brutal, brutal winters, in Michigan. The conditions in Kona can be brutal, but to the other extreme. How do you cope with those huge changes in temperature and humidity?
Our summers are pretty humid, so that helps in, you know, July and August and September. So it's usually not getting too cold before Kona, but you know, it's starting to get dark. So I'm like usually on the trainer getting my hours in. And if it's really cold out, I can always just turn the heat up and, work with that.
It's incredible. I mean, from a percentage of your training, Dan, how much would you say you, I mean, obviously in winter it's different, but in summer, what sort of percentage would you say is done on a treadmill or running machine and an indoor trainer?
Usually my workouts in the morning are indoors just because it's dark out, before work. And then I'll go to work. And then after work in the summertime, I'm always outside riding or running. So usually about 50%, I guess it would say in the summertime, you know, wintertime, it's always 100% because I don't run outside at all.
Do you find that doing the stuff indoors makes you mentally tougher?
I think so. Yeah. Because if you can ride the trainer and run on the treadmill for whatever, you know, your distance that you want to do, it's a lot easier to do it outdoor because you can enjoy it more. So, you know, you can always say it, you know, it'll make you tougher. And then, you know, it's mental strength that will get you through the tough points in the race.
Let's talk about work. What do you do for a living?
Heating and cooling.
All right. So, and hours wise, I mean, you obviously work, I mean, you're full time. There's no slacking. You've got to put in a full day's work.
Yep. Full day's work, 40 hours a week. And then just, yeah.
How do you get the balance right? I mean, that's one of the big things that I think age groupers struggle with is getting the balance between work and family life and training. How do you deal with it?
Usually I'm up in the morning, you know, before work. So no one's usually, everybody's still sleeping. So I can get some, you know, good quality workouts in then. And then usually in the evening or, you know, I don't go, I keep steady. I don't really spike that high, you know, with hours and everything, you know, so it's pretty steady.
From a training perspective, how many hours would you say you put in a week on average? Obviously, you'd have big weeks in the build-up to Kona. In a big week, how many hours would you say you put in? And then on average, what would you say you put in?
I think the max was 28 hours, roughly. You know, that was – I didn't do too many of those weeks. But, yeah, I think the max peak was 28. And I think usually I'm about 22 hours-ish.
What do the guys that you work with think about what you do?
They're great. They think I'm crazy too. They would never do that.
Dan,
they do. Some of them do. Yeah, some of them do like 5Ks and stuff like that. Yeah, but not too often.
You haven't inspired any of them to take up and do an Ironman?
No. They would never do that.
Let's talk about that first race experience at the World Champs in Kona. What sort of goes through your mind when you're heading towards the beach and you're getting in the water and it's almost go time? I mean, how do you, are you one of those guys that just gets so excited? Are you nervous? Are you scared? What's going through your head at that stage?
Probably the first one, I was a little scared. I don't get too pumped. I'm kind of like, I take the swim, I think, too easy sometimes. And, you know, I'm always behind. So I don't know. Like, it's always scary when you first get in the water. And it's like, you just want to go, but you still have another 25 minutes when you start getting into the water.
And as far as when race goes, I mean, as it gets closer and closer and the excitement's building, when that cannon goes, sort of, do you just calm down, or is it a case of you excited to get going? How does it work for Dan Sobleski?
Yeah, I mean, your heart rate spikes when you first take off, and then you gotta, stay calm and, you know, relax and, get your heart rate back down. And
Dan, as far as the three disciplines, what would you say is your strongest? What's the weakest?
Definitely my bike is the strongest. And the swim is always my weakest. Seems like I'm getting worse every year.
but I mean, the swim at the end of the day, I mean, you're never going to win or lose an Ironman on there, but you need to be solid.
Yeah.
I mean, is it a case of just technique or the more you're in the sport, do you tend to spend less time training and focusing on that discipline?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like I'm always training the same amount in swimming, but it must be that my technique is not the best, I guess I would say. And, you know, I never had a swim coach or anything. So, you know, I don't know that, but yeah, I don't know if I'm just losing strength, you know, because I'm biking and running so much, you know. I don't know. It's hard to say.
And that first Kona experience, sort of coming towards the finish off that run, you mentioned that you really struggled sort of back end of the run, but coming towards the end and knowing that it's done and you can celebrate the achievement that you had, I mean, that must be an incredible feeling.
Oh, that was the best feeling. It was amazing running down a Leahy Drive at the finish line. It's like, you want the race to come, and then it comes, and then it's over, and then you don't want it to be over, because that feeling is so amazing at the end. It's like you're floating on clouds. Nothing hurts anymore. It's amazing, you know, beautiful, and then you finish, and then it's done, and then disappointment comes because it's over.
that first one, from a results point of view, how did you go in that first one?
Second. I got second. Same guy passed me on the run. I think it was about 23 miles or something like that on the Queen K.
Yep. Did that sort of light a fire underneath you that you went, you know what, I've got to come back and win this thing?
Yeah, that helped. Yeah, I never wanted anybody to pass me again that late again. So that was always in my mind that I was going to fight even more. Cause at that time I couldn't, you know, just cause I gave it my all, you know, I had no response, but I knew that I was never going to let anybody pass me again at the end. And that would motivate me throughout the year.
You had obviously, because of your performances at 70.3 World Champs and that World Championships at Kona, coming back again, people obviously knew who you were first time round. You're a bit of an unknown entity. Did that put more pressure on you second time round?
Yes and no. I mean, I don't put pressure on myself. I just kind of forget about it, you know, because if you put pressure on yourself, you can put too much pressure and then you can go over expectations and this, you know, that, and you can always, you know, that will mess with your mind too. So I kind of always just put that into my mind. I never really think about it, but I do have expectations, but I never really put that much pressure on myself, I guess.
Your performance this year in 2015 was, I mean, the only word I can think of is superb. I mean, it was just phenomenal. I mean, tracking it online and watching it from here, would you say that's been one of the best races of your life?
I would say, no, I think 2014 was better. I knew 2015, I was going into that race with an injury, my calf. I couldn't run 10 days before the race. So, I mean, to finish that race, yeah, it was great, but I was kind of disappointed with the 3:10 run.
I just lie. I think to myself, geez, 3:10, I'd be happy with that for my first half of the run.
right, yeah.
That's incredible. I mean, you're just unbelievably talented, Dan. I mean, you've got such skills, it's ridiculous. Now that you've won it a couple of times as well, what's left for you to achieve?
Just keep doing it consistently. You know, I mean, I guess I could turn pro, but, you know, where I live is not, you know, I'd have to travel a lot more and this, you know, this and that, get to a lot of races. And I love racing Kona so much that it's hard to give up.
I wanted to ask you about turning pro. And the reason I ask that is because there was an age grouper, a good few years ago from South Africa, Carl Buckingham, who was the first age grouper home. I can't remember what year it was exactly, but the following year he turned pro. Is it something that you think about and consider seriously?
Yeah. I mean, I did. I'm going to be 40 this year. So that, you know, that hurts too. You know, if I was like 25, you know, or in my 30s or something like that, I would definitely turn pro. But since I'm so late in the game, it's, you know, that's against me too. And my swim's not the best. So it's kind of be like Ironman's. I would be like just riding and running pretty much by myself. So it'd be like a training day almost.
Do you regret not discovering the sport earlier in your life?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like I wish I would have discovered this 10 years ago, you know, that would have been awesome.
And as far as going back to Kona, I mean, there's some incredible races around the world, not just in the Ironman family, but in the Challenge family. There's some great races. I think of Roth as one of them. What else is on your sort of radar outside of Kona? I mean, what would you like to achieve in the sport other than at World Champs?
Yeah, that would be awesome. I always wanted to do one over in like Europe, you know, Roth or Frankfurt, but it's just the price to get there and, you know, the travel and everything would, you know, it's kind of, you know, a hamper.
Dan, what advice would you give to someone who's on the sort of, they push hard to qualify, but they struggle to qualify. I mean, what advice would you give to someone? In your opinion, is it worth sort of investing all that time and effort and money to try and get yourself better to get a slot at Kona?
Yeah. I mean, you'll never forget that your first Kona, because I know a lot of people that was their first. And even I, you know, remember my first in Kona. You know, that's one of the amazing things. You know, just the consistency of keep running, you know, I guess, you know, to keep training, you know, keep pushing yourself. You never know.
What inspires you to keep pushing yourself?
Just to keep, you know, I like the lifestyle, the, you know, healthiness, you know, the, you know, getting fit and, training every day. You know, I don't really have to do the races. You know, I love training, you know, just pushing myself every day, running. You know, I never feel right if I skip a day in the morning, you know, don't run in the morning or nothing. You know, I always feel sluggish or, you know, disappointed that I didn't, you know, do or I couldn't do anything, you know, in the morning. So
I ask everyone this question that I chat to. If I say the word Kona, what do you think?
Kona is amazing.
One word. I love that. That is awesome. Dan, I want to wish you well. I know you're going into another rough winter and there's going to be lots of time on the indoor trainer ahead of you over the next few months, but best of luck with that. What's the next race that you sort of working towards and have earmarked?
I think I'm going to do St. George in May, 70.3. So we'll see what's that. And then, you know, just my usual races would maybe June. So I don't really start till June because that's when it starts getting warm here.
All right. And Kona 2016, you pushing for that again?
Yep. That's on my radar.
We going for the win?
Yeah, try. We'll see.
I love it. Dan Sobleski, thank you so much. Much appreciated. We look forward to catching up with you again here on the Kona Edge.
All right. Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.